Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
And I'm Jeremy, and I have to admit, Pam, I have been super excited about this week's episode. Can you believe it is the 20th anniversary of Kelly Clarkson and Clay Aiken's dual headlining show, The Independent Tour of 2004.
Admittedly, I wasn't there, nor did I know about it at the time, but I think I've made up for lost time by watching an insane amount of YouTube videos, and the fact that she was like 21, 22 on this tour, she was a literal child, and that's what freaks me out the most.
Yeah.
I thought she was so like adult. Like I remember like a year or two later, there was like, I'm getting really off tangent already and we've been on for 30 seconds, but like there was like a issue of Teen People magazine, RIP, does not exist anymore, where I think it was like the 25 hottest stars under 25. And when I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, 25 is so old. Oh my God, you're such an adult. They're so mature. And she was on that. And now I'm like, 25 is a child.
Yes.
Anyway.
But anyway, I've been just so excited to talk about this because this was my first Kelly Clarkson concert, was on this tour. And I am so excited to, you know, share stories because obviously Pam wasn't at the tour. So I have to kind of carry the load of sharing stories. But then again, I also kind of don't have to because we are going to be checking in with four different special guests all throughout this episode. We're going to be hearing the stories from Melissa, Stephanie, Lauren, and Lyric. All throughout the episode today, they all sat down and chatted with us for a bit about their memories of the Independent Tour and what it was like to go to those early shows. And even in one case, two people meeting and creating a lifelong friendship by going to this show just by a chance meeting in the parking lot. So I hope you stick around for that story because it's going to be so much fun. And we're very excited to share some Independent Tour memories with you guys in our breakdown episode, our tour breakdown series. But before we do that, Pam, we have probably the biggest announcements on this podcast, probably since we had Kelly on the show.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I said that was bad.
Not even a good drum roll.
No.
We have, yes, not one, but two major announcements that we want to let you guys know about today. The first announcement is one that people have been asking us since very early on in the history of the podcast, and we are finally ready to do it. We are opening a merch store.
Hey! Had to.
Yes, you absolutely had to. We're really super excited. We have been kicking around this idea for a couple of years now. I know several people came up to us in Las Vegas and said, you know, when are you guys going to get merch? And when are you guys going to do this? When are you guys going to do that? And it's just like, man, relax. We're still trying to figure this whole thing out, even though it's been 3 years, but we're still trying to figure this thing out.
But we appreciate the enthusiasm and the demand, apparently.
Yes. And we have, I mean, quite honestly, we've been kicking around merch ideas for quite some time. And what's fun about doing the podcast about Kelly is that we have license to be a little more creative and a little more out there when it comes to Kelly-related merchandise versus what you might see directly from Kelly herself. Because obviously, when you go see Kelly at a show, you're going to get, you know, shirts that have her name on it and maybe the name of the tour, or, you know, maybe it's a song. You know, she went through a phase there where she was doing song related shirts, but we can be a little more niche.
Absurd.
Yeah. Obscure, niche, absurd. So we're going to have, and I don't want to give them all away because we're not quite ready for you guys to see them yet, but you will see them soon. We get to be a little more niche and do more of kind of the inside jokes with Kelly fans. So when you would be walking around wearing a Miss Into Podcast merch item, the real Kelly fans are going to know who you are because they're going to know, hopefully, they're going to know these references or at the very least, you know, you found yourself a really big fan because they're going to really understand these references. And we've taken a lot of ideas from ones that you guys have sent. We've kicked around ideas ourselves for a couple of years. I've had a running note on my phone with just random merch ideas, and we've made some of them come to life. And so we're very, very excited about being able to share that with you. And we're excited to announce that our merch store is, fingers crossed, as long as nothing goes weird between now and then, we will get to open our merch store on March 1st. So it's very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm excited for the next announcement.
We have a second announcement. And no, it's not that Kelly's on. I know that you guys, I equated this to Kelly being on the podcast. I wish we could announce that Kelly was going to be on the podcast again, but, you know, someday. The second announcement is another thing that people have asked us about, if we would ever consider doing something like this. And we thought, you know what? We weren't ready for it just yet. But now I think we've finally gotten to the place where we are ready for it. And that is, we are going to start a Miss Into Podcast Patreon.
Yay! Hey!
Here's the obligatory.
I'm super excited. Are you going to like go through it right now, or are you going to just to let people know to wait for the, because when we're launching that on the 1st as well?
Yes, we're also going to launch this on March 1st. We had to mention the merch store first, because the merch store works in conjunction with some of the benefits from the Patreon. Now, I know that for some people, this is going to be of absolute no interest because you're not able to, you know, give anything extra than what you're already giving to life itself. And that's,
or you don't like us enough, which is fine. I don't blame you.
You're a little on the fence on whether you're going to keep listening to the podcast. We get that.
We get it.
And the great thing is that if you do absolutely nothing, you are going to be, you know, still getting the weekly episodes. We're still doing all the regular stuff that we're normally doing. And that is that. So you're going to miss out only just on the additional new extra stuff that we're going to be doing. So don't feel like you're missing all that much, even if you don't decide that you want to be a Patreon supporter. So we're going to have four different levels of participation with Patreon. The first level is called Thankful, and you're going to get at least just the satisfaction of knowing that you are supporting the podcast. Because I know there are people out there who are just like, I would love to show you my support, you know, with, you know, donating a little bit of money to the podcast or whatever so that you guys can do the things that you're doing. This is the level for you. We'll also do Patreon supporters shout outs during every single episode near the end of the episode. So you'll get one of those for that level of donation. The next level that we're going to do is called I Want You. And with each level that you go up in your support, you will get that level of support and everything from the previous level. So obviously you're going to get the shout out and just the warm fuzzy knowing that you're supporting the podcast. You're also going to get access to two additional Patreon exclusive mini episodes per month. So we're going to do extra content that is only going to be available to some of our Patreon members, again, level two and above. So that's super exciting. We've got some fun ideas for the things that we want to do with those. You're also going to get discount codes for merchandise. Once again, when the merchandise store opens, you'll also get exclusive exclusive contests for Patreon members that the regular listening audience is going to know nothing about. Okay. We might even like hide things inside of regular episodes. The average general public is not going to have any idea what that means, but you as a Patreon member will know exactly what it means. And then members at this level and above are going to be the first people to be considered for guest spots on the show. Because we have a lot of people who hit us up about wanting to be on the show, talk about Kelly, tell their stories. We're going to start pulling almost exclusively from our Patreon members. And so you will get first dibs at being a guest on the show.
If you wish.
Yes. You don't have to. You can say, yeah, I don't want to be part of that.
Which is fine. And I do want, I want to preface that, like, these are pretty low, like, monetary.
Yeah, this is a very low barrier of entry. We're not trying to, like, get rich off of this, and we'll explain in just a few minutes. But, yeah, we're not out here trying to, like, fleece people for money like a streaming service that keeps raising their prices every 6 months. All right, Netflix. So the next level of support is called All I Ever Wanted. And again, you get everything from the previous level of support. Plus, you'll get access to extended special guest interview episodes when we do them. So when we talk to people like Kelly or Jason or Jesse or whomever, you're going to get extended versions of those episodes, longer versions than what the general public is getting because you are a Patreon supporter. You're also going to get access to purchase merch items that are not available to everyone else. These are going to be exclusive for just this level and above of our Patreon members. You're also going to get the ability to post and react on the to-be-announced, soon-coming Miss Into Podcast Instagram broadcast channel.
Whoop, whoop. Hey!
Because I don't know if you've ever, if you've been added to anybody's Instagram broadcast channels, but a lot of it's just like celebrities talking at you. Yeah. There's not a lot of like back and forth. Well, there is, I've seen that there is a the ability to allow people the access to actually comment and such. So we're going to give that access to people who are at this level and above of our Patreon support. Plus, on top of all that, you're also going to get invites to exclusive Patreon member Zoom happy hours. Those will be sporadic. They're not going to be like, you know, one or two a month. We're just going to do them, you know, periodically when mine and Pam's schedules align.
I think us talking about this specifically is how Rob thought of Mr. Mix-It-All.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah, maybe we'll see if we can loop Rob into doing something with Mr. Mix-It-All in our Patreons.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be totally fun. Would. He totally would.
All right. That is the first three levels, the top level of support. Again, you get everything else that we've already talked about. Plus, you're going to get exclusive opportunities to submit questions to our high-profile guests. So again, when we have Kelly on the next time or Jason or et cetera, we are only going to pick from questions from people from this top level of Patreon support. You're also going to get guaranteed guest appearances on future podcast episodes. So we will work with you on a time that you can come on to a show. We'll throw around some topic ideas and see which one of those you feel most comfortable with jumping on and being a part of. And this will also probably extend also to things like our fantasy drafts and, you know, round tables, that sort of thing. You know, we want to have as many people on as we can. So if you're in this top level of support, then you will have a guaranteed spot in a future episode. And then if that wasn't enough, you will get one free merch item of your choice once you've been a member at that level for 3 months or more. So that's a lot. There's a lot of stuff there. And I mean, obviously, you know, there's cool value at every level. And again, we've priced this so that, you know, it's not going to break the bank. It's, you know, something in for some of us, you might not even notice it, you know, coming off, you know, your credit card or whatever every
month.
Some of it
is literally less than like a latte at Starbucks per month.
For sure. Yes. So if you want more information, we're going to have the Patreon linked over at missintopodcast.com. You can go there, click on that, look again at all the different benefits, see if there's a level that you like, if you do want to support the podcast. Again, it's obviously complete free will. Nobody's making anybody sign up for this, but we just know that we have so many wonderfully kind and generous friends and fans of the show that have asked us for ways to donate. And this is kind of the best way for us to do it. Now, the point that I was trying to make earlier when it comes to, you know, Pam and I not doing this to try to get rich off of it is because we're doing this so that we can actually continue to put the podcast on. You know, it's more expensive than some people might think when it comes to, you know, paying for things for the podcast. You know, there's web stuff that you have to pay for. There is hosting. There is, I mean, I pay for Zoom, you know, just so, you know, people can be on here. So there's a lot of little expenses and, you know, we're trying to see what we can do to mitigate I don't want to necessarily say recoup. I'm going to say mitigate the costs of putting on the podcast because we've kind of shouldered this for 3+ years now. And it would be really nice if we could sort of, you know, take the burden off of us a little bit and, you know, have sort of a base of subscribers that really just want to do what they can to support the podcast and get a little bit of extra fun out of it. Because I know there's some people who are waiting by their devices to listen to each week's episode. And if those people want to have extra episodes to listen to, we want to be able to give that to them. So
totally.
Again, go to missintopodcast.com. That's going to have the link to the Patreon. And also, it will have the link to the merch store as well. And
you can,
on March 1st. March 1st.
Not today. If you're listening in real time, March 1st.
Yes. So those are our two big announcements. We are super, super excited about it. We've been working on this for a really long time. We've been working on some other stuff in the background that kind of has to do with all of this. It's been a ton of work, but we love doing this podcast. We love being a part of this community, and we love the community that we've built with the podcast. And we're just trying to see new and fun ways that we can bring you guys even more content, bring each other a little bit closer together, and we hope that this will do that in a small way.
Hey.
All right. With all that said, we're very excited about our big announcements.
There's no segue.
There's no segue. We're very excited about our big announcements, but we're also very, very excited about this week's episode. It is all about breaking down the Independent Tour, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary. The 20th anniversary was, if again, you're in real time, just a couple of days ago on February 24th. That's when the tour kicked off back in 2004. And Pam, I can't overstate this enough. This tour is so special to me because it's the first time I ever got to see Kelly live, and it really started me down a road that has been so incredible, has had so many fun twists and turns, and it all started with this tour.
So what I made a statement in one of our episodes recently, and I think this also applies to you. This tour changed your brain chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like, all this dopamine. You're just like, oh my God, I love Kelly. I love her live. And it clearly it had some lasting power because we're here right now.
Yeah. I mean, you want to say dopamine. I mean, it was like a new brand.
Like a rush.
It was like a new brand, a new kind, a new flavor of dopamine that hit me that I was just like, I've never had this before and I have to have all of it now. So I'm very excited about today's episode. We want to start off, again, this is all about breaking down the Independent Tour of 2004 with Kelly Clarkson and Clay Aiken. The tour kicked off, as we said, on February 24th, 2004. It ran for 32 shows until April 16th of that year. Now, two of the shows were branded the Independent Tour, but they were actually just Kelly solo shows.
Really?
Yeah, Clay was not involved in them, and they just so happened to be two shows in Kelly's home state of Texas.
Weird.
Yeah. She played.
Do you know why?
I'm not 100% sure why. I mean, it's Texas, so.
Maybe he had a scheduling conflict?
Could have been, or they just maybe had some availabilities and they wanted to add Kelly to it, because outside of her mini tour that she did, which, I mean, let's be honest, that was like 11 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, shows in the most random, like, state fairs and whatnot.
Yeah, it was like farm something.
Yeah. This was really. Outside of the American Idols tour, this was the first really big tour of Kelly's, you know, separate from American Idol. And they really did lean into the hometown quality of these shows, because both artists got to play three shows in their home states. And it's one thing to do it in Texas, because Texas has a lot of big markets. You've got Austin, you've got Dallas-Fort Worth, you've got Houston, you've got San Antonio. She played three of those four markets on this tour. Now, in Houston, I believe she played the rodeo, and I think in Austin she played the state fair. But then they also did a show in the suburbs of the Dallas area, which was a Clay and Kelly show. But the fact that Clay got to play North Carolina, his home state, three times. North Carolina's not that big of a state. So the fact that they did three shows in Winston-Salem, Raleigh, and Charlotte, including kicking off the tour in North Carolina.
That was actually probably smart. I mean, I don't know if it was intentional for the agent to do the routing like that, but it was actually really smart to, like, kick it off in one of their home states, because there was probably already so much excitement, but because it's, like, the homecoming sort of thing, it adds an extra layer of, like, oh, my God, we have to go. So I don't know if it was intentional or not, but, like, props to that agent.
Yeah, and speaking of kicking off the tour in North Carolina, we actually have one of our guests, Stephanie, who got to go to the opening night of the tour. And, in fact, there was a very high-profile network that also came to the show.
We were there opening night in Charlotte on the 24th My cousin and I might call her Wotes during this, her name's Sarah. We got there early. We were the first people in the parking lot. And we ended up going into the, what do you call it? The, oh my God. Where you get tickets. I can't think of the name.
Box office.
Yes. Thank you. God. we ended up, we had really crappy seats and we got third row from them that day. And so we were like super hyped after that. And we were standing out in the front and then a van pulled up and it was TRL. And they jumped out and had us sign a couple of forms and asked us to just talk about Kelly. They handed us the microphones and they let me talk for probably 15 minutes. And I rambled on. I'm so glad they only played like a couple of seconds in the actual clip that they showed on TV. Because I went on a rant about how good Justin to Kelly was. I was young. I was giving her props for anything that I could give her props for. But yeah.
That's crazy that TRL, first of all, I mean, I know it was the opening night, but TRL first even went to North Carolina. Like, you were probably not expecting that. You're like, what the heck are they doing here?
I was so surprised. And I was such a little music junkie already. Kelly, like, made it even worse. But so them kind of showing up was also super exciting. So
now you were going to opening night of the show. And we have to say, I mean, first of all, were you going for Kelly? To see Kelly specifically because you're going to North Carolina. That's Clay Aiken country. Clay yeah, that's Clay Nation right there.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I mean, they sold out all three of the New York show, or excuse me, the North Carolina shows. I mean, was it weird to be there for Kelly and everyone screaming for Clay?
Very. The first night, there's actually another girl. She's still very much a Kelly fan as well. Her name's Brittany. She was on the other side of the catwalk. She had ground or like floor seats as well. And I feel like if it wasn't for my cousin and I and her, there would have been nobody standing up for Kelly during that first. It was crazy. But she played off of us the entire night kind of because of it. So it made it super awesome for us. I think we made her calm down. I think she was a little nervous when she first came out and was doing the guitar for Low, I think is what she started with that night. I think it's so funny we found out that was a track playing for her most of the time. But she looked pretty confident, like, from what she was doing. But, yeah, it was very weird. The fans were super nice the first night in Charlotte, even the Clay fans. They were, like, pointing at us, trying to get her to see us and stuff. And they were super sweet. We went to the second show because she was so good the first time. We talked my aunt and uncle into taking us to the Winston-Salem show. We had further up seats that night. And literally somebody that was sitting behind us pulled my shirt down and had me like jerk me into my seat to get me to sit down during Kelly. They were not as nice. So,
wow.
It was very interesting crowd and Clay Aiken fans were interesting.
So that was Stephanie talking about going to the first night of the independent tour. It's so cool that she got to be interviewed by TRL. Like,
I know,
right there at the show.
Like, I remember, like, I went to, this was, like, Two Worlds, Two Voices, and I remember there was just, like, the local radio station mm-hmm. that was, and I was freaking out about that. I'm like, oh, my God, they may know Kelly, you know. The fact that it was TRL, though, like, woo.
Oh, yeah.
That's high stakes.
Yes. Throughout the tour, there were five sold-out dates. Six of the other dates were near sellouts, which means they had somewhere around 500 or fewer tickets left. Which a lot of venues kind of consider that a sellout, depending on the size.
I'm glad you explained that right now, because the way I read that note was that the sellout was considered at 500 tickets sold. I'm like, that can't be right.
No. No, a lot of venues, especially arena-sized venues, if you get to a certain point where there's 200, 300, 400, 500 tickets left for a show, they will say, it was basically a sellout. There were a few shows on this tour where there were like 2,000 tickets left, but five of the shows for sure sold out, and then a few of them were very, very close or basically were considered to be sellouts. The tour itself did get announced on January 7th of 2004. It got announced in a couple of different areas, one of which was Kelly's official website. She got to post a little message on there that she and Clay were going out on tour together. And for the opening act, it was, in fact, the mega pop stars themselves, the Bew Sisters.
Who are these people?
The Bew Sisters were a four-sister act that they had like a very, they kind of tasted a little bit of success, a little pop success They had a song on a Disney movie soundtrack called Home on the Range. I don't know. I mean, it's not even like one of the more mainstream Disney movies.
Up right now.
Yeah. It's like a lower tier Disney movie, but they had a song on the soundtrack, which meant they were all over Disney Channel and their video was played on Disney. I don't know.
And this was like when I would have been watching Disney. I've never heard of them, but I have to go listen to this right now, or not right now, after this, because we don't have rights to play music on here. I will listen later. Interesting.
Yeah, if you want to look them up, they're the Bew Sisters, B-E-U, and then just look up Home on the Range and you'll find their song that they had.
Huh.
So the way that the tour was laid out, it was billed as a sort of a co-headlining tour. So they kind of went back and forth whether Kelly would perform first or if Clay would perform first.
Yeah.
When it comes to the shows in North Carolina, Clay performed second. So technically, Kelly Clarkson was an opening act for Clay Aiken.
Yeah, it was similar to what they did on the Frey tour in 2012, where it's technically an equal billing, you know, so it's co-headlining.
Right.
But someone's got to go first. So for that tour, they like alternated every other night who would go first. So sometimes Kelly went first, sometimes the Frey went first. So same example here with sometimes Clay went first, sometimes Kelly did.
Now, the shows that I saw two shows on this tour, and in both instances, Kelly went second.
Nice.
So for the sake of explaining it in the episode today, we're going to say that Clay was the opener and then Kelly was the main attraction. I want to speak just very briefly about Clay's set. I mean, it was a fun show. He was born to be on the stage. Let's be honest. I mean, he's a great showman. He actually would walk to the stage from the back of the arena. So when the lights went down, he would start singing the 80s song Kyrie by Mr. Mister, and he would walk from the back of the arena all the way to the front. And of course, the Claymates would absolutely lose their minds. They would be screaming. I mean, this was high-pitched minivan mom screaming over Clay Aiken. It was wild to see.
Oh my goodness, I wish I saw this.
Yeah. But he always did really well. You know, he interacted well with the band. He joked with the crowd. And at the time, I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember my timeline. At least I don't remember my Clay Aiken timeline. He did a mixture of songs from his Idol days and also, I think, songs that ended up on his debut album. I don't think his debut album was out yet.
It may have been.
I mean, it's possible because I think he won Idol
in 2003.
Yeah, he won Idol.
Or no, he didn't win. He was the runner-up.
Second. Yeah.
Yeah.
His Idol season was 2003. I can't remember if they bumped up Idol already at that point and won.
I can tell you. Yeah. I can tell you. Okay, so Measure of a Man, the debut album by Clay Aiken, was released on October 14th, 2003. So it had been out for a couple months.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Invisible was a huge song.
Yeah, because because when Kelly's season of Idol was on, it was sort of a summer show because I think they weren't sure if they wanted to commit to it in the regular fall season.
Right.
But then when it was such a massive hit, when Clay and Ruben's season came around, they made it part of the fall schedule. So the season ended in May. And so there was time between May and when Clay's album came out. So, yeah, so there were some songs from his debut album in the show because the show started a couple of months after Clay's album came out. So that's really all I have to say about Clay Aiken's performance. When I went to the shows, I already wasn't there to see Clay. I didn't care so much. I was there to see Kelly Clarkson. So first and foremost, when Kelly comes out on stage, the lights go down and an intro video sort of plays with this sort of mashup of songs that she sang on American Idol, plus, you know, the two big Moment Like This and Before Your Love, and then they kind of mixed Independence a little bit. We've seen these a couple of times before where, you know, they've done these little, you know, medleys of stuff.
I love it, though. It gets me so amped up.
It does, yeah. And it's funny because as obviously her career goes further and further, like we saw this at the beginning of the Meaning of Life tour. They had that whole, like, career retrospective on the video screens before she pops up to sing A Moment Like This. They didn't have a lot to work with when they were on the Independent tour. She had the two singles after Idol and then the Thankful album. And that was about it.
That's it.
And so the intro was very short. But either way, Kelly comes out on stage in all black, like all blackness, and the lights come on, and she instantly starts strumming on the guitar and starts singing the opening chords to Low. This was such a unique tour, you guys. Kelly Clarkson was playing an acoustic guitar on stage and singing. The thought of it now is incredible to think about.
And in ripped jeans and a t-shirt for every show.
Yeah.
It was like literally as if you were at like a downtown bar in Nashville, like just like watching someone on the stage. It was so like chill and so low key, even though it was literal like arenas.
But at the same time, I mean, like you said, this was a 20, 21 year old woman.
Yeah.
On her first like really big ish tour, going out to all these cities where she's sort of, I mean, yes, she's still with an American Idol person, but she's sort of free of the other contestants that she was, you know, synonymous with. Mm-hmm. And she just came out, you know, she would either be wearing these, you know, these ripped up jeans, or sometimes she had black pants that she would wear, but she always had like a tank top, or in some cases, this was the tour where we got the famous shirts that labeled everybody.
So yep, hers said Singer.
Kelly Singer, Jason Keys. I mean, it was just such a crazy, like, things that happened on this tour never happened again. And that's wild to think about. For instance, Kelly did not only one song on guitar, she did two. She did Low with an acoustic guitar, and then a few songs later, she had an electric guitar put on her, and she did Just Miss the Train. Which, I mean, the fact that in 2024, I'm talking about Kelly Clarkson performing Just Miss the Train in concert. On a guitar is crazy to me.
I wonder if she remembers how to play. Like, I don't know if it's muscle memory or it's completely gone for her. I'm very curious.
I know she mentioned that she's not a guitar player. She tried. Yeah. They tried to teach her, but that's just not who she is.
That was me. Like, I played for about a year when I was in high school, and the second I stopped, it just left, and it just wasn't meant for my brain.
But, yeah.
It was cool. It's cool to see that she did try it, and she tried it publicly.
Oh, yeah. This was also the tour where people would often hold up signs to her and say things or have her do things. And in one case, the most popular thing for her back then was doing a dance called The Lawnmower. And she got asked to do this. I think she did it on Ellen.
She did it on Ellen. I was going to say that. She was wearing like a blazer and like a red shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that. Lord knows why I know that, but she literally did The Lawnmower on Ellen.
Yeah.
And I need someone to do this in Vegas.
Oh, absolutely. Can you, like, someone hold up a sign that says, can you still do The Lawnmower, please? Miss Into Podcast wants to know if, I know you only have so much room on your phone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she did it at nearly every show. And so, this was also a time when fans used to throw gifts up on the stage. I think it happened at every single show. In fact, at the LA show, people were throwing shirts onto the stage, and she literally was like, thanks, but I've got clothes, you know, because normally when you give Kelly a gift back then, she was like, oh my gosh, thank you. And she had like a gift room in her house. But this time she's like, thanks, but I already have clothes.
Was this the tour where someone gave her a bra that said, we support you?
I think it very well might have been, because I know there were also panties thrown up on stage.
God.
And she was like, I can't put these panties on.
That's like disgusting. That's also like super rock and roll. But
it
also,
really is. Yeah.
Who knows where those have been?
Speaking of throwing things on stage, another one of our guests today, Melissa, had a little bit of experience with wanting at least to throw things on stage.
I had made because again, I was 18. I was kind of, well, I'm still a loser, but I was like more of a loser back then. I had made like these teddy bears, like Build-A-Bears, but like the wish.com version of Build-A-Bear. I did like the Kelly one in like the Natural Woman outfit.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my God.
The hat and the thing and like the red belt thingy. And
yeah,
it was, and then I made a clay one. I mean, clay. And it was the best tickets I've ever had, I think, for a concert. So I think there was a catwalk that went about four or five rows. And I was seventh row center. So it was like, oh, my God, I don't know how I got these tickets. I didn't know the tricks of the trade back then. And I was just like, I think I threw them on stage. I don't remember.
Which we don't recommend doing in 2024, but back then it was fine.
Yeah.
I might not have. I don't remember.
But she got it.
I don't know.
You just know you didn't go home with them.
That actually I can't say for sure either.
But boy, oh boy, 20 years, man. That does some damage to people.
But I do have a vivid recollection of like exactly where my seats were in relation to the catwalk and like the jeans, the ripped jeans that were way too baggy. And the like, what was it, like a baseball kind of tee? Like a...
Yeah, there was a couple of different outfits because this was also the tour that she had the shirts that all the band wore that said like, you know, Kelly, singer.
And then didn't Jason have one that's like Jason Keys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so, I can't believe it was 20 years ago.
That's funny that she is not even, she doesn't even know for certain if she threw the stuff on stage. That's how bad all of our memories have gotten and how far in the rear view this tour really was.
For real. For real. This tour also, like I, as I said, I wasn't there and I used to watch a lot of YouTube videos back in the day because for a while, like we only had the breakaway era or thankful era videos. So I watched a lot of these, but admittedly, when I was re-watching the performances in preparation, I hadn't watched these in like at least 15 years. Uh-huh. And she really did change up some of the production of the song, which was cool to see early on in her career that she was even doing that. Because I think that's one of my favorite things that she does on tour even today.
Well, even the fact that her album had only been out for not even a year at this point, and she's already changing the arrangements on some of the songs. I mean, it sort of was like a sign of things to come.
Yeah. Should we go through the set list?
Yeah. I just want to make a couple of other little notes about that before we hit the set list. First and foremost, she was already screwing up lyrics. She's always just been bad about lyrics. In fact, we were talking about just a second ago with her changing up arrangements. She totally changed up the arrangement to The Trouble with Love Is. And I believe it's in the YouTube video that's out there from the Philadelphia show. Somebody came to the show wearing a similar shirt like to what she was wearing, because I think she was wearing the Kelly Singer show that night. Someone was wearing a very similar shirt to that. Kelly saw it in the audience, and it tripped her out so bad that she lost her place in the song. And she just got completely flummoxed because she saw somebody wearing the identical outfit to her. And I'm like, man, I mean, now she screws up if she tries to read and sing at the same time. All it took was just to see somebody's shirt.
She has the attention span of a squirrel when she's on stage.
She really does, yes. She also famously changed up the arrangement to Beautiful Disaster, which later on we know that it was the San Jose show that she did the arrangement that is on the Breakaway album. Because I believe, I mean, I don't know for certain if she would have already been in the process of recording stuff for Breakaway.
I was thinking about this. I think she probably was. And this is, again, you know, going, I'm weird about like dates and stuff. Like if this was early 2004, we'll say February through April, I remember the Hazel Eyes DVD where she's like in the studio recording, going to the Princess Diaries 2 premiere, all things like leading up to the album. That was all like spring, summer of 2004. So it was all probably immediately after this tour.
Yeah. But there was probably some stuff that was already being like the foundation was already being laid for the next album.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the tour. When you hear that version on Breakaway, it was recorded at the Independent Tour with Kelly sitting on top of a piano being played by Jason Halbert. So very, very cool. Also, she performs Thankful during the show. And on the screen, they show lots of pictures of her family and friends and a lot of idol memories that people remember because she's, you know, she's sentimental like that. And I know that during a moment like this, I remember this from my shows, she would spend the majority of the time signing people's programs, tickets, shirts, hats, whatever they threw up at her.
Well, that sounds fairly familiar because she's doing the same thing during Breakaway during these Vegas shows.
Yeah. Mostly selfies anymore because she doesn't have time to stop and sign stuff. But
yeah,
either way, it was just very cool. All right. So let's move on now to the set list of the show. Like we said at the beginning, it was... Low was the very first song of the show, and it really set the tone. And just the fact, again, of Kelly coming out on a guitar, like I will never get over the fact that that was a thing that happened.
So it's funny. I know I've said this before. Like when I first heard the song Low, I remember I have like a vivid memory of hearing it at the grocery store and thinking it was a country song.
Yep.
Which is funny. But at the same time, her performing this like on this tour, she made it very country.
Uh-huh. She did.
So I wasn't like entirely wrong. And it was very interesting because like when she hasn't performed it a ton since this time, give or take. Like it was in the medley for the Meaning of Life tour. She did it on the talk show the last couple months. And it's a lot more like broken down, a little bit more acoustic. This was the complete opposite. Like the background vocalists made it sound like a much bigger production than it even is on the album. But it was great. They're both ways. I love both versions, but this was a really like big event, which I guess for an opening number, you want it to be as big as it can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, just seeing her play guitar, like I think I would love to see her maybe try one more time to play the guitar.
Yeah. I would love to see that in person.
Next up, we had What's Up Lonely, which obviously, again, you know, she's working off of literally one album of material. So this is obviously going to be a very thankful, heavy set list. But the funny thing is a lot of these songs that she's performing in this tour in particular, and this is why, again, this tour is so unlike all the other tours, is that she doesn't have the big giant hits yet from Breakaway. So there's a lot of songs in this particular set list that got little to no play after this tour.
Casey? Yeah, and this is one that Jason's been wanting.
Yes.
For years to put back in the set list.
Because case in point, What's Up Lonely, she hasn't performed this song live since 2005.
Oh my God. And I don't know if it's specifically the video I watched, which was from the Philly show, but at least that video, she skips the second verse entirely.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I don't know if that was for every show though.
For the next song, it's The Trouble With Love Is, and
which
this was an interesting rearrangement of the song. And in this song, she starts off the song like always, gets through kind of the first verse. And then when she gets to the chorus, she steps it up to like a dance remix.
Like a club mix.
Yeah, like it's a club mix. And now she's kind of like stomping her feet around the stage and kind of dancing a little bit.
And that's the rest of the performance is like that.
Yeah.
It's a little jarring, in my opinion. It's kind of funny. I completely forgot about it. Then I watched it. I was like, oh, my God, I forgot this was a thing. it was a choice. It was a choice.
Yeah. I think that I'm thinking about all the ways that she's changed up songs that we know. And this one doesn't rank super high on my list. Mm-mm. I think if I'm picking songs that she has changed and rearranged in concert, probably the hard rock version of Moment Like This will probably always be number one. And that wasn't until the Breakaway tour.
Or the recent Never Again from Vegas, where she did both this album version and the acoustic iTunes version together.
Absolutely. That was good too. Then after Trouble With Love Is, we have Just Missed a Train. Again, Kelly back on guitar. This time she's got an electric guitar.
With her boa strap.
Yes, very fancy.
She looks very rock and roll.
And then after that is another one of those songs that was here one day and then gone the next. And that is Some Kind of Miracle. And this song isn't heard from after this tour.
I think she did it on this tour, and then she performed it on when Ryan Seacrest had his talk show for like a blip in time.
Yep.
Which is a fantastic performance.
It is.
I think it was Ryan Seacrest, or maybe... Was this Ryan Seacrest?
It's possible. I mean, that would be about the time that he was probably starting to get some of his other media opportunities.
I think it was. Whatever. It was some, you know, blip in time, early to mid-2000s talk show. But other than that, we have not heard this.
Yeah.
Literally in 20 years.
After Some Kind of Miracle, Kelly hops up on the piano and kind of breaks it down for a couple of songs, starting off with Beautiful Disaster. And she tells the crowd that she has done a new arrangement on the song. And in some shows, she actually comes right out and admits she does not like the way it was recorded on Thankful.
Thank God I'm not the only one. I feel bad saying that, but I just like, it is like night and day. Whoever made the executive decision to do the acoustic version and release it, or the piano version, like, thank you.
And she even, I mean, the fact that she admits, I thought it was overproduced. Like, this, again, this is Kelly at 20, 21 years old, already making boss decisions and saying, look, I understand that my management company has got me under their thumb and my record label is all kinds of helicopter parent, but I didn't like the arrangement of this song and I'm going to change it up because I can when I'm out on tour. They can't control me out here. After that, she did the cover that so many people loved on American Idol, and that was her cover of Bette Midler's version of Stuff Like That There. I mean, this is the reason why I fell in love with the song. I mean, yes, I loved it when I heard it on Idol, but the fact that she was doing it live in concert, seeing it live, so incredible.
And I love how it's like continued, because we got it. I saw it at Radio City during the Piece by Piece tour. And then she also did it during One Night in Vegas last summer.
She sure did.
So I love that. Like, I like that it's not like she's always doing it, but like bringing it back a little sprinkle here and there. It is a nice little nod.
Yeah. And then after that, we get a strange, almost premonition type of a song. We're almost looking at the future without knowing we were looking at the future. And that is, she does a cover of Reba McEntire's Why Haven't I Heard From You?
So I'm going to admit, I didn't remember this song from this tour. I didn't.
Yeah.
It was probably like a cover I watched once or twice back in the day. And I was like, all right, cool. Next thing. So I remember I lost my mind when she performed this in 2006 at that Reba tribute thing, the Reba Giants thing.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God, what is this song? Kelly sounds amazing, not knowing that she'd actually done it on tour before.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you, though, is like 2008, when they did this on the Two Worlds, Two Voices tour, did this bring you back to the independent tour, or was it not really a memory for you then?
I had forgotten that she had done this cover on the independent tour, quite honestly. It was just one of those songs that didn't stand out to me. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. You know, we all knew she liked Reba. I mean, I think she made that pretty clear in her season of American Idol. So of course she's going to cover a Reba song. And quite honestly, I wasn't super familiar with Reba's discography. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know a lot of Reba's songs outside of a couple of the really, really big hits. And so to hear her cover this at the independent tour, and then again, like you said, hear it on Giants, hear it in the Crossroads show that the two of them did together. And then see it on Two Worlds. I mean, this is sort of one of those Reba songs that's sort of been the Reba song that she kind of always goes back to.
I don't know. Personally, when I think of this song, I think of like the Two Worlds, Two Voices tour immediately. I don't think independent tour by any means.
No,
not at all. The next song is Jeremy's favorite song. Was this your bathroom break song?
It might as well have been if I could. She did You Thought Wrong. And this was a little unique as well, because this was also the point in the show when Kelly does a wardrobe change. And so for the beginning of the song, she actually has her background vocalists, Angela, Quiana, and Jacob. I think it's just Angela and Quiana do the song. Yeah. They sing the whole first verse.
And it's chorus. Just them.
And chorus,
I'm pretty sure, and chorus, which I like. The video obviously isn't very good on YouTube because it's from 2004.
Yeah.
But I was like, these don't sound like Kelly. Am I losing it? And then I realized, like, oh, she's literally just not on stage.
Yeah, she was back in the back getting changed. She comes out for the next chorus, or maybe the second verse or something.
So I think the second verse she comes out. Yeah.
The cool thing is for those of you who saw the show in Grand Prairie, Texas, Tamira Gray actually came to the show and performed this song with Kelly. That's very so cool.
I'm still bummed. I think they did a duet during the Stronger tour. Uh-huh. And it was a great duet, but I'm like, what a missed opportunity that they didn't do this.
I know.
You're like, oh, I'm poor. Oh, well.
The next portion of the show is probably one of the more surreal portions.
Did it
of
happen? Did this actually happen?
Did this really happen during a Kelly Clarkson concert? She put a song from the soundtrack to From Justin to Kelly in the set list. And it's not like, you know, just any time or Timeless,
which were on like actual albums.
Yeah.
As well.
Like, and she did those songs too, but she did the Bounce, parenthetical, the Love.
L-U-V.
Yes. And she very happily, you know, without any sort of commentary, promoted the fact that she did a movie and this is a song from the movie.
Do you think she was forced to do one or two songs for the movie? I feel like she probably was.
I think she didn't want to just come out there and sing the entirety of Thankful. And so she needed more material. She needed to fill 60 minutes or so or plus of songs. And so she's like, well, I mean, we did a bunch of songs for the movie. I suppose I could do some of those.
But why the bounce? I love the song, but this is not one I would pick for a concert.
Which one would you pick?
I would probably do like Forever Part of Me because I feel like it's, I don't know, I feel like the bounce, like.
But wasn't that a duet between her and Justin?
Yes, but I also feel, well, so is the bounce wasn't just her. But I feel like it's also just like Forever Part of Me has a lot, like you can understand the lyrics a lot better. It has a better flow. Like the bounce is just a song you dance to. Yeah, there's lyrics, but I don't know it for its lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a fun little boppy song. And
it's great, but it just was a little weird to have this one.
It was just so wild to see that. And as you can probably guess, it has not appeared in a set list since. She then follows up after the bounce. She continues with Justin and Kelly songs, and she plays Timeless, which that song and that duet ended up on Justin Guarini's album, Thankful.
So it is on streaming because it's on Justin's album.
Yes. Now, she does this as a duet with her background vocalist, Jacob Luttrell, who would stay with Kelly and later would perform on the Breakaway tour as well. I think he even made it to the Hazel Eyes tour. I don't quote me on that. I think he made it to that tour as well. But it was cool to see Jacob again. It's been a long, long time since I've heard him sing with Kelly. And it was cool to see her sing Timeless. Again, another song that has not been sung since this particular tour. And then after that, we get Anytime, which again is on Thankful. And also, again, has not been sung since 2004.
I don't think of this song. I mean, I know it's from the movie. But I think of it as like a Thankful track.
It's a Thankful album track for me. Yeah. It's not a Justin and Kelly song. She then comes out, performs Thankful afterwards. That's when all the, you know, sort of stuff, the pictures and stuff go up on the screen. She goes away for her encore, comes back out, sings Miss Independent. It's probably the most, not lackadaisical, it's the most.
Least anticlimactic.
It's the least anticlimactic introduction to the song. She's like, hey, y'all, this is my first single. Well, it's not really my first single, but it's my first single off of my album. And she just goes into, and it's just like, nowadays, there's a little bit, I kind of feel like there's a little bit more fanfare when we go into Miss Independent, especially after everything with Vegas and kind of how they're currently performing the song with the mashup included into it. Then after Miss Independent, she does A Moment Like This, which, you know, she thanks everybody for, that's the song, it's the reason why she's there, et cetera, et cetera. And then the show closes out with Kelly comes back on the stage and a cappella, she starts to sing the opening lines to Open Arms by Journey. And then midway through the first verse, Clay comes back out on stage. Again, we're doing Clay opening for her. He comes back out on stage and they turn it into a duet. I will say, this is actually a really good duet for her and Clay. It's a great song with the two of them.
It is, but it's also one of those songs, like, I know they did this, but I couldn't play it in my head for you.
Yeah.
Also, like, whenever I see Open Arms, I just automatically think With Arms Wide Open by Creed. I'm like, she covered Creed?
Oh, my God.
That one. That would be interesting. It was good. And I'm glad that the two of them did something together. I mean, I feel like they kind of had to.
Yeah. This was also a show that really set the foundation for one of really the great musical partnerships, if we're being honest, in music today. And this is the tour that Kelly first teams up with Jason Halbert. Jason is... And I'm saying this based off of what was credited in the tour program. Jason is credited as the musical director. I'm just musical. Saying.
He has now corrected us.
Yes, he has. But he needs to go back and change the past and change not one, but two different programs for this tour.
Like, you have the Clay program?
Oh, I have the Clay program too. My Clay program is actually signed because that's what I had him sign.
Oh my God.
So let's talk a little bit about the band, because there are some familiar names in here in the band. Yeah. Of course, we've got Jason on keyboards. There was also a second keyboardist, Tommy Svan Ringo. A couple of familiar names that some OG Kelly fans might remember is Al Berry on bass. And Al would stay with Kelly through the, I believe, through most of the Breakaway era. I can't remember when A&R officially joined
up. I think A&R started my December.
Okay. Maybe. We also have Danny Weisfeld on guitar, which Danny is a phenomenal guitarist and was with Kelly again through much of the Breakaway era. We also have Chris Lukes on drums, and then the background vocalists, Angela Fisher, Quiana Parler, and Jacob Luttrell, all on background vocals. I don't remember about Angela or Quiana, but I know Jacob stuck around for the Breakaway, at least the Breakaway and Hazel Eyes tours. So it was very cool to see that. Plus, we get the first recognition of Ashley Donovan as the assistant makeup stylist for the tour. Now, here's the interesting part. The band and Ashley were working for both artists. So that band stayed out on stage for the entirety of both Kelly and Clay's set.
That's a lot.
That's a long show. I mean, you're looking at like a 3-hour show with, breaks and whatnot. But yes, so Jason and Al and Danny and the rest of the band, they all stayed out there for Clay's set and for Kelly's set, which I didn't even realize because I don't have any pictures of Clay's set. So I don't see, Jason out there with Clay Aiken, but sure enough, he was.
So let's stop here and let's hear a little bit more from Stephanie about her experience at the Independent Tour.
I feel like I sort of, because I came like all the way from Idol, where we did call and vote and stuff for her, that we kind of feel like proud mama and daddy bears right now for her. I know she's a little bit older than me, not by much, but I feel like I'm just super happy that she's getting the recognition that she is now. I'm glad that people are noticing her more, that she has her show. I've been screaming it from the top of my lungs to nothing into. So I was in a house full of Justin fans, and now they all love Kelly, thankfully, and they see the lasting power she has, which was cool. And we also met her. I don't know if I brought this up, but on the second show, when we went to Winston-Salem, we actually sat outside by the buses, and she came out to get some stuff from her suitcase. And she was so sweet and didn't have no makeup on, just a like ball cap and one of her little shirts that had like the little sayings on it she was doing back then. And she came out, took pictures with everybody that was standing over there and signed a bunch of stuff. And then she was trying to get her suitcase closed back up, and that's when I realized how tiny she was, because she had to sit on top of it to get somebody to like close it up. It was so cute. And the other day I found this Sharpie that she used to sign our stuff in my like keepsake box in the closet.
Oh, that's great.
That's so, yeah. Does it still write? I'm dying to know.
It does. I was a little curious that it was in there though. I'm sure I'm not a creeper.
No, it's no, fine. I would do the same thing. Do you have a photo though of you meeting her that day?
Oh, I wish that this is going to show my age, but obviously back then we didn't have a lot of cell phone things, so they were all like taken with a regular camera, and I have no idea. I don't have my pictures from the shows either, which really...
Oh, no!
I still have my tour book, but I lost some of those.
One of the last things we're going to talk about, which I know you've mentioned on the podcast before, but I know it's a great story. You actually got a meet and greet.
Yes.
During this tour. And you were given really strict instructions.
Yeah, and I actually had two meet and greets for this tour.
Did you?
I did, but I'll explain on the second one. So yes, so the meet and greet I had for the Omaha show, and I've told this story before on the podcast, so if you've already heard it, I apologize, but if you're hearing it for the first time, enjoy. We get to go backstage after the show. Kelly and Clay have changed into their pajamas, assumingly what they're going to wear when they go to bed on the bus. And we get herded into this room, and this is back again when the meet and greets were still pretty large. I know there was 30 plus people in our meet and greet, and they kind of chop us up into groups, and they say, all right, you're going to go into this room. You're going to put your name on a piece of paper. You're going to slide it to the artist. They're going to sign whatever you've brought, and then you're going to move on, and then we'll take a photo. We ask that you do not talk to the artist. And we're like, what? We were given explicit instructions not to talk to Kelly or Clay because apparently they wanted them to rest their voices. My show in Omaha was kind of 2/3 of the way through the tour, so they've been going for quite a while. But so we walk into this room, we stand in front of a table, they have these little slips of paper, we sign our names, we slide it to a person who's working for the tour. They then slide it down. I think Clay was the first one in at the table. And meanwhile, we're all, you know, doing this very silent, you know, we look like we're ordering soup from the soup Nazi, like walking up very quietly to the table.
No soup for you.
Meanwhile, Kelly and Clay are just, they're just gabbing away at each other, just laughing, having a hoot. We're like, well, this is weird. So we walk up and some, like the first person moves over and they like put their thing in front of Clay. He's like, well, hi there. How are you? It's not, what's your name?
That's a good impression.
Thank you. I've been working on my Clay Aiken. And the person, like, I remember the first person in line just absolutely froze and didn't say anything because we were like, we were told not to talk to you. And so finally, like, they say their name and then the whole room relaxes because Kelly and Clay are in a great mood. They're having fun. They're joking around with people. And we all start talking to them. And it was no big deal. So then we kind of get through and I'm going down the line and I've got my two, I bought both tour programs and I get Clay to sign my tour program. But then I get to Kelly, and if you have seen the independent tour program, it's kind of all very dark with the exception of like Kelly's face. And I'm like, well, I don't want her to sign her face. That's going to be a weird autograph. And so I had been thumbing through the program during the show and there was a picture that I saw where, and it's still to this day, one of my favorite pictures of her of all time, where she's wearing this like Jethro Tull shirt. She's got a black leather jacket and ripped up jeans. And I was like, it's got a like a light teal background. I'm like, ooh, that'd be a great page to get signed. And I was, and she goes, hi, how are you? Hey, Jeremy, how are you? I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. It's a great show. It was my first show. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, that kind of thing. And she starts to sign the cover. And I said, actually, Kelly, can I turn you to a page to sign? She goes, oh yeah, sure, sure. So I turned the couple pages. I feel like I couldn't find the page. It's like the second page. Couldn't find it. Put it in front of her. She signs it. Jeremy, rock on, Kelly Clarkson, because this is back in the day when she still signed her full name. And I still have that. I still have it to this very day. In fact, I tore it out and, or I cut it out and I framed it. So then when I went to the next show, I was really kicking myself because I was like, I needed to buy another program because I want one that's like fully intact, one that hasn't been cut up. And I forgot to do that. And so I found the one I have now, I found on eBay like 10 years later. I paid like $50 for it.
Oh my God.
But it's intact.
And it's in good shape.
Oh yeah, it's in wonderful shape. It's almost completely mint. So I'm very happy about that. I was also supposed to, I was saying before, like when I left that show, I was absolutely entranced. Kelly won me over completely. And I was like, we're driving back. We had taken some contest winners to the show, me and a friend of mine. And I was like, I need to go to another show. And so I remember immediately I got back to work the next morning and I immediately bought tickets to the St. Paul show, which was the final night of the tour. We also worked out getting a meet and greet to that show. However, since it was the last night of the tour, they wanted to be done with everything like right away. So they moved the meet and greet from after the show to before the show.
And they tell you that in advance.
Not very far in advance though. Well, I mean, for me, like radio people, we get everything last minute.
Right.
So I found out like, I think either the day before or the day of that the meet and greet was at 3:00 and St. Paul is like 3.5 hours away from
me. And the doors probably weren't even really open.
No.
No.
So I had to give up the meet and greet spot because there was no way I couldn't take the day off of work. I was already leaving early to drive 3.5 hours up to the show. There was no way that I was going to be able to make it to a meet and greet at 3 p.m. For that show. But real quickly, I do want to tell the story of the meet and greet, finish the story of the meet and greet in Omaha, because my friend Caress that had come with me that I work with at the radio station, she was very much like, oh, you know, this is just a thing I have to do for work. I'm taking fans to see Kelly Clarkson and Clay Aiken. She was sort of ho-hum about Clay. When I tell you, she melted and turned into a Claymate from the first notes of him singing Kyrie when he walked out. She started screaming and she was like having a ball. And I'm like, who the hell are you? Because this is not who you were when you walked in.
Right.
She turns into a total Claymate. So we get to the meet and greet and she looks at me. She's like, we're doing everything we can to make sure we stand next to Clay. And I'm like, I don't want to stand next to Clay. I want to stand next to Kelly Clarkson. She's like, no, we have to like box out everybody else because they were going to put us in a group of like 10 people to take this photo, which I hate. I hate group photos like that. But they had to churn people through quick, and this is what they do. So Clay and Kelly come in for the photo. Clay's wearing his freaking like plaid pajamas or whatever, and Kelly's got this super cute like little light blue t-shirt and her Abercrombie sweatpants. And I'm like, I wonder if there's a way to get them like both next to us. Like Clay can be in between me and Caress, and maybe Kelly can be next to me, and I can put my arm around her and be like, hey, buddy. But instead, Kelly like kneeled down in front of us, and she's like in front of me and like one person over. And meanwhile, here I am like hugging on Clay Aiken, which I don't want to be doing, but I was trying to be a good friend to my buddy who wants like, who is now suddenly Clay's biggest fan. So I was like, well, damn it. I came here for Kelly Clarkson. Like I want to somehow prove that I don't want to be standing next to Clay. I would rather be standing next to Kelly. So in our meet and greet photo, I hold up Kelly's program for some reason. I just hold up the program. I'm like, here, this is me standing next to Kelly Clarkson somehow. Even though I'm standing next to Clay Aiken. We'll share that picture on our social media, but
I would love to see it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's me, my friend Caress, Kelly and Clay, and like 10 strangers all in this photo. So
have you looked at the photo to see if you actually know any of the faces now?
No, I don't think I do. I'll have to go back and relook at it again, but I don't think so. I don't think I know any of those people. If somebody sees themselves in my meet and greet photo, please give us a shout out because holy crap, that would be really weird.
That'd be really funny.
Let's stop there and let's hear another story from Melissa about her experience at the Independent Tour.
I just remember it was absolutely amazing. It was so good. Stuff like that there. That was the one where it was like the carpet on the ground and like the fun thing. It was that end. Oh, was this the one with? There was a moment like this. I don't think it was the rock. Was it the rock version of the moment?
No, that wasn't until Breakaway Tour.
Yeah, it was. It was a different like spin on it though. I just remember being like totally and utterly mesmerized and just being like, I want to go to more, but I didn't that tour. That was the only time I've only gone to like one show. it really laid the foundation or the trajectory of like the future.
So yes, it was a fantastic show, and really there's a lot of great memories for me that come out of this show because it was my first one ever with seeing Kelly. But I don't think I have nearly as great of a story as two other of our guests have for this show. And we want to let our friends Lyric and Lauren tell their story about how they became friends at the Independent Tour.
So I know in the email that I sent to the podcast that I was explaining that my mom was circling the arena trying to find a parking spot. But like, if I'm being totally transparent, we were actually trying to find the arena.
Tell that part of the story too, since everybody didn't get to see the story you wrote in our email.
Yeah, so this was before like pre Google Maps and Street View and
MapQuest.
Yeah, right. MapQuest. Yes. So once we finally find it, we start hunting for a parking spot, and then my mom, you know, we get in, we get out of the car, and like, or actually before we get out of the car, we notice this car is following behind us very closely, and we're like, well, we didn't think much of it, but then. So we find a parking spot, we pop out, and then and once we land at a spot, Lyric comes out with his mom, and he walks up to us, and he has like the cutest, most innocent laugh. I mean, he's not innocent these days, but like he was like super shy. and he told his mom that he was following us because he thought Kelly was inside the car. And this was only because the car was covered in like car paint with like all these Kelly sayings like ducka ducka ducka, you know, Miss Independent.
Can you imagine if Kelly went around in her own car I mean, listen, if I was a teenager or in my like young, you know, 20s and I saw that, I think the same thing. But looking back, I'm like,
yeah, security.
I
mean, was
for what it's worth, I was 14 and still thought that Santa existed. So I was not a very bright person.
Sorry for any children who might be listening. Santa's
I love the idea of Kelly just driving around in her own like hype mobile, just like on the way to shows.
Well, I'm like, I'm so glad it happened though, you know, like 20 years of friendship, right? So we all got to know each other, you know, in line before the concert, and we found out that he lived, you know, just 30 minutes away from us, and you know, we exchanged numbers, and Lyric, I think your mom kind of helped kind of put everything together too. You know, she was super excited to get to know my parents. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was very excited to get to know like other people nearby. Plus I was like a loner, so I didn't really have a lot of friends. I kind of just stuck to myself. I was very like much in a shell, and that's the most like out of my shell my mom saw me come, because we had a full on rush hour moment in downtown St. Louis because I just started shouting, "Get her." And then we just like, my mom made literally a U-ey in front of the arena to chase this car. So very interesting story.
That's hilarious. That is so funny.
Which show did you guys go to?
St. Louis?
St. Louis, yeah. I also,
okay.
Funny story, but we actually ended up going to Chicago too, and I can tell you a little bit about that story too.
Please do.
Yeah. But yeah, like back to Lyric and I, like we grew up together. We attended graduation parties together, birthday parties together, sleepovers. I mean, Lyric, you kind of, you know, definitely became a really good friend of ours, and you were like a son to my parents, and yeah. So,
oh my god, I'm gonna cry. That's so sweet.
No, it was just like very much like the perfect, I don't know, like the perfect setup, because like around that time my mom was starting to struggle a lot with her health. So she was a single mom, and so like there was a lot of times she couldn't really spend time, she wasn't really healthy enough to do a lot, and so I would go over to Lauren's place. And I would stay there sometimes for a few days at a time. Her parents fed me. So, like, yeah, we just kind of developed this lifelong friendship. And, yeah, it's been a beautiful 20 years.
Do you guys still live remotely, like, near each other?
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you get to see each other at all, though?
Gosh, when was the last time? A couple years ago? When?
2021, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doable, but still long.
Yeah. So, too long. Mm-hmm. Lyric, you live in New York now, right? And then I live in Carbondale, Illinois.
Lauren, you also mentioned that you went to the Chicago show.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that laugh about? I'm curious.
Yeah. So, like I said, on a whim, we ended up going to the Chicago show. Lyric, I know you're familiar with this. So, I was just so excited to tell you guys about our friendship that I overlooked this, and I was falling asleep last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, this did happen on the tour. So the show's over in downtown St. Louis. We live about 2 hours southeast in downstate Illinois and Marion, Carbondale area. And we also know like Kelly's going to be having a show tomorrow night in Chicago. So my mom and my other friend, Sarah, and I, you know, we all head to the car, and we had scoped out the tour buses for a few minutes. And then, you know, once we got in the car, my mom was like, who's the coolest mom member for doing this? She was like, she looks over at me and she goes, do you want to follow the bus to Chicago? And we were like,
oh my God.
And go to another show. And of course, I'm thrilled. I'm 14. I'm like, absolutely. This is so cool. So we park, we wait for the buses to leave, and then we follow them all the way to Chicago. And they knew we were following them. In hindsight, probably not the smartest thing to do, but we had really good intentions. You know, we weren't going to be like weird about it. I mean,
gosh, how did they know that the Kelly Hype Mobile was following them? Like, what are the chances that they would have not spotted that?
Fair. That's fair. We probably should have gone incognito and wiped that off. But I saw it.
Just hit a car wash on the way. You can catch up.
Yeah,
so
no.
You literally went with like the clothes on your back that you wore to the previous night.
Yeah, but you know, to be fair, like we had family living in the suburbs, so it wasn't crazy to go to Chicago.
Okay.
So we followed the bus all the way to the destination. I think she was staying at the Four Seasons with Clay. And at this point, it's like 5
o'clock. Excuse me.
Yeah, my mom, right? My mom had been driving all through the night. So we get out of the car. We went on the opposite end of the street. We didn't want to wait right by the bus. So the bus arrives and Clay pops out. Someone's carrying his luggage for him. And I remember that vividly. And then we don't attempt to say hi to him or anything because we're there to see Kelly. And then
wait, this is at 5 a.m.?
Like 5 a.m., yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So. I mean, I'm embarrassed just telling it. It's me.
It's okay. We've all been there.
The girl's maybe gotten 6 hours of sleep. Yeah. Maybe. Well, and she's climbing off a bus.
Yeah. So behind Clay, a tired Kelly, really tired, sleepy Kelly, steps off the bus, rolling her own luggage. And my mom, Sarah, and I, we all go, Kelly, we love you. And then she looks up. She smiles big and bright like she normally does. And she goes, love you too. And then she heads inside. So, you know, we didn't really want to push it, you know, and meet her, you know, we didn't at 5 in the morning. But it was one of the most memorable, like, moments of my life, like seeing her that close. And, you know, of course, I've met her since then. But that was really cool. Really cool.
You, Lauren, you might win the award for the earliest meeting that we know of.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
5 a.m. tired coming off of a bus.
Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
I almost got choked up listening to their story.
I love them. I love them so much. And as I said, proof that like most people in this world are cool. And especially if they're going to see Kelly, like chat them up if you feel comfortable because they can turn into your bestie.
You never know, man. Honestly.
You never know.
Just I love their story so very much. So thank you very much to Lauren and to Lyric for sharing their story with us. And I hope that their friendship continues to last for many, many more years and that they get to do
seriously
more Kelly stuff together.
Seriously. So, you know, do you have any final thoughts, reflections over the last 20 years since this tour happened?
The independent tour was just a unique tour in and of itself. I mean, there will never be a tour like that one again for Kelly, especially when you look at the set list. I mean, just even when she, you know, does like a career retrospective, half of those songs aren't getting included. No. So it's just wild to think that that tour really was a moment in time of Kelly and her career. And just I'm so thankful because that this tour really is what solidified my love for her as a person, as a singer and an entertainer.
So if this tour didn't happen, we may not have this podcast.
It's very possible. You know, I mean, I was still a big fan of hers after American Idol. I was still going to support her. But this tour is what really kicked it into high gear. And then when Breakaway came, I mean, forget it. It was over like that. I was off and running and there was no stopping, you know, my fandom at least. But the independent tour is just always going to have a very special place in my heart because it was my first shows and I didn't have fantastic seats to the shows. Like I was in the room and I got to see it. And it turned out to be, you know, one of the more memorable experiences. And it's been so fun, not even just today, but in the week leading up to preparing for this episode, to relive all these memories and to go back and rewatch the videos. And by the way, we've been sort of mentioning them off and on throughout the podcast today. The entirety of, I believe it's the Philadelphia show, is on YouTube, the whole independent tour. So you can go back. I mean, it's terrible quality because it's 2004 and that's what
the audio is pretty good. Just the video is bad.
Yeah. The audio is decent, but it was 2004 and it's what we have. But I'm so glad that there is a historical record of this tour happening. And the fact that like somebody got it on film that she performed the Bounce, the Love in concert for paying customers is just crazy to me.
Absolutely crazy. So that was our tour breakdown episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. If you happen to go to this tour and you have some photos or videos that you want to share with us, please tag us. We'd love to watch them, see them, and share with other listeners throughout the week. As always, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on Spotify, please consider leaving us a rating on the app. You can also leave comments on our specific episodes. And Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review there. And make sure, if you're listening in real time, make sure on March 1st, I think it's a Friday, check out our Patreon. Go to missintopodcast.com and you'll find out some more info there.
Yep.
I think we're back next week with a new episode.
Yep.
I don't know what it's about yet. We'll find out. and I hope you guys enjoyed this and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.